Next on our agenda is item M, trial court budget, 2% state level reserve process, and minimum operating and emergency fund balance policy. We welcome back Judge Lori Earle, chair of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. We also welcome Zlatko Theodorovich, Judicial Counsel Finance, and is Michael Planet, court exec out of Superior Court of Ventura, joining us on the phone?
We're hopeful he's joining by phone.
Okay. We are a little
Good morning, Chief.
Good morning, Michael. Thank you. I was just going to say you have a hard act to follow.
No kidding.
Thank you, Chief. We bring to you today some recommended changes to the 2% state level reserve process. You may recall that last July we brought to you a recommendation to change the current process. The current process calls for allocations from this fund at specific dates during the fiscal year, with any unexpended funds distributed back to the trial courts after March 15th. Last July, we brought you a recommendation to change a certain part of that process. We did not bring any recommended changes as it relates to the first opportunity for courts to apply for supplemental funding, that October deadline, nor do we bring you any recommended changes to that today. But back in July, we recommended that in order to accelerate the distribution of funds back to the trial court, that any unexpended funds be distributed to the trial courts in January, so it shortened that cycle. At that meeting, you expressed concern about not having any funds available in the second half of the fiscal year, and you referred the issue back to the Budget Advisory Committee to consider your concerns. The Advisory Committee met on September 26th of this year, and we bring to you a revised recommendation. Again, no changes to the first opportunity for courts to apply for supplemental funding. But again, the goal being to distribute this money back to the trial court sooner rather than later, we are now recommending that you distribute 75% of the remaining unexpended funds to the trial courts in January. That would allow 25% of those unexpended funds to remain available between January and March 15th for any requests that fit the criteria that the council has come up with in their policy.
And just to clarify, just so you understand, that the current pot is $37 million. That's what the 2% equates to. And so approximately $27 million of that would be what would be returned, and there would be about $9 million, $9.5 million left for the second process. And historically, the requirements of the improvement fund, when this process was part of the improvement fund, was about 9 to 13 because it was a percentage of a number, but that was the rate. So we feel that that dollar amount for this process being left over for the next couple of months is sufficient to address anything that would come down the road.
And I can also tell you that there, I know this process is fairly new. I think we've only had it for a couple of years, but there have only been a handful of courts that have applied for supplemental funding after the October round. So there hasn't been much activity after the first of the year nonetheless. Part of our recommendation in recommendation number one is also to recognize a working group of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee who would assist the Fiscal Service Office in reviewing any requests that are received during this time period between February and March, and give approval and feedback to the Council on that review. So that is recommendation number one. Recommendation number two, I'll just remind you that courts have the opportunity, pursuant to Government Code Section 68502.6, to apply for supplemental funding as a cash advance loan. This was in the governor's budget language a few years ago, which was last year. So there is that money available. What we're recommending is that any requests that are received after March 15th for supplemental funding due to these unforeseen emergencies, again, be reviewed by a subgroup or working group of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee along with the Fiscal Service Office for preliminary approval for reimbursement from the 2% state level reserve the following fiscal year. So it's kind of an advance, if you will, on the pot of money that would be available in October. It would only be preliminary approval. We don't have the authority to approve it. You have that authority. But we would at least give those courts who are applying for funding and have to apply as a loan at least some feedback on whether or not we believe it fits the criteria and could potentially come out of the 2% reserve fund the following fiscal year.
Yes, well,
that's a good idea. So it's been asked whether questions could be asked as you present.
Sure.
So, Justice Miller.
I just have a question about why you felt the need to give them preliminary approval before it comes to the council rather than a recommendation to us or options.
The timing for these sort of late in the year requests tend to be very, very short. And so it could be a court is realizing that they're having a problem, and it might be that they need funds transferred for a cash issue within 5, 10, 15 days. And so the process for the loans happens that quickly, but since this could be also a budgetary issue, the interaction of the Budget Advisory Committee members would have to also fit within that so that a court has a sense as to what they're managing to. So I think it was a timing issue, and it's something that we're going to try and deal with when we get to the next slide about changes to the future process.
So under that process, though, that you're recommending, would the money be provided to them before there's council approval?
The loan process is an administrative process and does not involve the council's approval. It is it a structure in which cash advances are managed by my staff and myself and working with it. But because there's this, we're trying to bridge this dark period of budget need, that's why we're having some input as it relates to this potential impact on the 2% for the next fiscal year.
Justice.
Absent this issue of it being a budget problem, it happens, and we deal with it at the courts on a regular basis.
And if I can elaborate a little bit, part of the reason why the timing is such a short window is in many instances the cash advance is a result of trying to meet payroll. That's a quick example of, I think in a majority of the court's cases, they're trying to meet payroll, and payroll is every other week. And so there isn't much time before the time they ask for the loan and the time that we have to give them the cash advance so that they can meet their payroll obligations.
And one more point is that Judge Jacobson had talked about the impact of the 1%. When courts had larger fund balances, cash flow was not nearly the same problem. And now that we have 1%, and we did front load allocations, as we're getting into that third and fourth quarters of the fiscal year and they've spent down their cash balances, cash management is going to become even greater of an issue and greater concern.
It's not a loan where they repay it in 2 years or 3 years out. It's a cash advance that they repay out of their next distribution.
What would be the issue is whether or not they could afford it. So that's the evaluation. It might be that they, because there's no pot to allocate to increase their budget after March 15th, it might be from that March 15th to the June 30th period that they do need a budget increase, not just a cash bond. Because usually when you don't have bills you can afford, you also don't have the cash to pay them. So they become intertwined at that time. So
I guess I'm just trying to find out what requires judicial council approval and what doesn't.
What would be required for judicial council approval is we get to the next fiscal year. Let's just say that this cash advance is approved, and it also has a budgetary impact in which it's not just an advance against their current year allocation, and we are advancing next year's allocation. That means that there would be less resources in that next year for them to manage their costs. Can they absorb paying it back or not? And if they can't, then it would come as a 2% request in the next fiscal year. That would require by statute the council action.
So several people, Justice Hull, Mary Beth Todd, and then Ms. Pohl.
Thank you, Chief. I think following along with Justice Miller's questions and thinking, I was thinking along the same lines. Are we at this point facing the possibility, however, that these loans under recommendation 2 would be approved by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee Working Group, and then for some reason, once that approval or that issue came before the council, as we know, sometimes these can be, there's room for disagreement on some of these matters, that the council would not agree, and then the funds have been distributed. What happens then?
Let me interject here and attempt to answer your question. The application for supplemental funds between March 15th and June 30th would be pursuant to the cash advance loan policy and process. So courts would know that there is always the potential they have to repay that loan in the next fiscal year. What we're doing is saying we will also review it to see if perhaps it's eligible for payment from this 2% state level reserve, and if the council approves it in the fall, they would not have to repay it as the loan. Okay. But we would tell them up front, you're on the hook for this loan unless the council approves a request to pay it out of the 2% state level reserve. And the reason for the Budget Advisory Committee review is to give them some feedback on what our recommendation to the council will be in October.
But if your feedback to them is that you will recommend approval and the council disagrees, then
they repay the loan.
They repay the loan. And I have a follow-up question that's related to that under item one. As to the portion of 25% remaining would be available for court requests due to unforeseen emergencies or unanticipated expenses. And it says these court requests would be reviewed and approved by the Budget Advisory Committee Working Group. Approved by, but then would later come before the council?
Yes, preliminary approval.
Okay, but then once again, as we've experienced, or at least those of us who've been here over the last 3 or 4 years, what amounts to an unforeseen emergency or unanticipated expenses can sometimes be in the eye of the beholder, and so ultimately, if the council disagreed, what would happen under those circumstances?
I think the word should be recommendation to the council, not approval by the Budget Advisory Committee.
Okay, but there would, under recommendation number one, there would not be any funds actually distributed until the council had acted on that?
Correct.
Right.
Thank you.
Does anything need to be changed about the recommendations then, in terms of the language from approval to recommendation?
I would change the word approval to recommendation.
Under number two.
Under
correct.
Recommendation one.
Thank you.
And two.
Yes.
Yeah, so... Mary Beth Todd?
I think Judge Earle clarified. I wanted to just provide some more clarification, and so now I'm sort of going, well, I could either help or hurt here. But it was to make clear that, you know, after March 15th, there is no money for a court if they have an emergency. There's nothing sitting there. So the purpose of this process was to at least make sure they can tap into a cash advance. And I think really the role of the Budget Advisory Committee Working Group is to tell them either this doesn't look like an emergency or it does to us. And so you also have this opportunity at the beginning of the year to apply. It was to try to provide some form of a safety net. So no court, you know, we can't unfortunately say nobody can have an emergency after March 15th. Just, you know, so we were trying, as you recall at the last meeting when this came up, we were concerned because there was going to be just this total repeal of the statute, and we had nothing in place for this period of time from March 15th through June 30th and into the beginning of the subsequent year. So I think, you know, our discussions were that this working group would be just kind of the litmus test for court to say this does look like something that could possibly be considered an emergency, and so you might want to consider going through the cash advance, then turn around and make your supplemental funding request. And I think, that, you know, we'll be talking about some of these requests in the next item. And it's not always crystal clear, but I think there are emergencies that are going to be real clear. I think, you know, that this is the type of thing. Somebody wipes out their whole computer system or something, and it's you know, in excess of 5% of their overall budget that can't be helped. There are things like that can occur versus Well, we're just having a hard time balancing our budget. So.
Chief.
Well, this is a new state of affairs for the branch.
It really is, and I think the next recommendation, number three, is what's going to really be critical.
I'm going to go to the other questions.
I think just for the benefit of the new members to understand maybe a little context here, and also for Martin on this, this 2% pot we're talking about, what happens is, let's say there's $100 available to give to all the trial courts. 2% is taken out of the money that the council would be otherwise giving to trial courts and sets it aside. So we are taking money out of our pocket and putting it in a pot. And then this process is to, then if there's urgent needs, funds get distributed out to courts in need. So we pay for our own emergency pot, and the structure was, well, when does a court know when it gets it back? And so that's why the Department of Finance establishes March 15th, sort of, if there's whatever's left over, if none is distributed, then it all goes back. If something is distributed, then the remainder goes back. So just for the new members understanding, this is our own money that is held aside and then distributed back out. And the problem with not having a lot of reserves is that a court's not sure what kind of money it's going to get back. And the later in the fiscal year that this money gets back, the shorter their time they have to build it back into their budget. For example, if you assume that all of your $2 is going to come back to you, then you build your budget assuming that $2 is going to come back. But if a lot of courts come and ask for money and $1 is spent, all of a sudden, your budget plan of which you were going to get $2 back and you're only getting one, and you find that out late in the fiscal year, you don't have enough time to manage your budget and adjust it by the time you get to the end of the fiscal year. So that's why this is this issue of accelerating the return of the unallocated money so that courts have as much time in the fiscal year to plan and adjust their budgets. And there's differences about what people assume they're going to get back. 100%, given the fact that very little has been allocated. Some are very conservative and think, well, I might get 50 back, and getting the extra 50 back in March can be a windfall of a problem, especially when you can't carry it over into the next fiscal year as you used to in the past. So we're trying to manage this process and this monster of a process that's been created by the 1% fund balance cap and this funding of our own emergency pot. State agencies don't do that. There's a set aside of money outside of the budget for each department. If they have a shortfall, there's a process for them to ask for it. And nobody else in the state budget is impacted by that. We, since we self-fund, if we take a penny out of that pocket, that's less money going back to everybody when it's distributed at the end of the year.
Thank you, we're trying to manage that.
I'm
going to call Ms. Pohl, and then Judge McCabe has withdrawn his question, and so it'll be Ms. Pohl and then Judge Stout.
Thank you, Chief. My question has been asked and my concern addressed somewhat.
Thank you. Judge Stout.
Thank you, Chief. I want to compliment the committee for revisiting this issue, and I think a very thoughtful and well-reasoned recommendations, 1 and 2, to expedite the distribution but still maintain a safety net, if you will, particularly for the third quarter. With the 2% option, reserving or holding back the 25%, and then the loan option for the fourth quarter. I think particularly for small rural courts, when you have that unforeseen, unanticipated, true emergency, it can be devastating. And I really appreciate and thank you for your thoughtful work on this.
Thank you. Justice Miller.
And I hate to be nitpicky, but could we make the change recommend to the Judicial Council so it's clear it's who it's recommending it to and that we're pursuing our authority? Is that all? Okay.
So that's the amendment to items 1 and 2 after the word recommended. So if you look at your recommendations, item number 1, it's 4 lines down, approved has been changed to recommended to the Judicial Council. And then if you look at recommendation number 2 in the last, the penultimate line, after delete approved and insert recommended to the Judicial Council.
Chief, would that be recommended for approval to the Judicial Council in each instance or just recommended?
I would just say recommended. I think it's inherent that the Judicial Council has the authority to approve.
May I ask a question?
Yes, of course. Judge Tangeman.
I just have a question about the timing. If these are, in fact, recommendations to the council for that expenditure of the remaining 25% between January 1 and March 15, knowing that we have a meeting in late February and then again in April, when does the Judicial Council approve that?
Well, but it would be the approval in the next year for the 2%. So it would come in October, right?
Okay.
No?
Yeah. For that time period after March 15th, you're correct.
No, I'm talking about the January to March 15th time period. For the January 1 to March 15 time period, when the remaining 25% of the 2% reserve is available for court requests for unforeseen emergencies and unanticipated expenses, the advisory group will recommend approval. When does the Judicial Council approve that?
So Zlatko, what's your...
Yeah. So what happens after the... So in statute, there's an October process. And that's why we're bringing the next item. And then there will be a December, January, and February meeting that those remaining requests could be brought for to be brought out of the remaining 25%.
Doesn't that period expire on March 15th?
Yeah, so there is a February meeting, a January meeting, and a December meeting. And so you have three more council meetings to address the remainder of the funds.
March 15th is the date that the funds are distributed back to the trial courts.
So by the time the February meeting is completed, you'll know what have been the approved amounts from the pot. That's just a process we've been given as part of the statute and from the Department of Finance on this.
And two more folks after Judge Tangeman, Justice Hall and then Judge Rosenberg.
Thank you, Chief. Zlatko, but that your explanation to Judge Tangeman's question, I understand, and I think we all do and accept, but I suppose that it at least leaves open the possibility that there may be a recommendation for funds distribution that took place after the February meeting but before March 15th.
Well, given the timing, we have historically over the last two is that February meeting was the last opportunity since there's no council meeting between the late February meeting and there's basically a two-week period because I believe that the February meeting tends to be at the end of the month.
Thank you.
Judge Rosenberg.
One other option that could be considered, I suppose, is for the council to give authority to E&P to make those decisions in those emergency situations, which the council could thereafter ratify. We may have a situation where a court needs the money in a week. I don't know, but that's an option.
Okay, Justice Miller.
I would prefer not to do a delegation to E&P because then I think, I'm not saying it could be, but it would be a slippery slope. I think we just have to deal with it. We could do circulating order if it's a significant group of courts or a significant issue. We just add a council meeting.
With these dates in mind, I'm hoping that the CEOs and the PJs are aware that if you're looking at a March distribution, then and you look at the account dwindling, that you're starting the paperwork and you're calling ahead of time, letting the people at finance know I'll be submitting this.
Chief, we sent out emails in July, in August. We put out the calendar and the number of days in advance that all the requests need to be submitted so folks are aware. We've even, once submitted, we've sent out follow-up emails to let folks know to provide additional information. So we're trying to be as helpful and let them be aware of the timing that is created.
And just to say, too, one of the things E&P did for this actual meeting was we had a subsequent open meeting under our rules because the reports couldn't be processed quickly enough. So that's even another option that we can do.
I think we're working through. I'd ask you to proceed on recommendations number 3 and 4.
Recommendation number 3 is the last recommendation that addresses this 2% state level reserve process. We are seeking your permission to work with the Court Executive Officer Advisory Committee. The policy, I always get tongue twisted on this one. PCLC and the Trial Court Presiding Judge Advisory Committee to propose amendments to the statute which establishes the 2% reserve process for inclusion as trailer bill language in the 2015 Budget Act. The next slides deal with the minimum operating and emergency fund balance policy. There was that policy was suspended by the council on August 31st, 2012, when the governor announced his 1% cap on fund balances and established the 2% state-level reserve process. In July, we brought you a recommendation to terminate the Judicial Council policy, and you extended it to the end of this year so that we could regroup and discuss this a little further. Today, we recommend that you continue the extension until June 30th, 2016, and on a side note, we are asking, and we know you will, but we're asking that you continue to advocate for repeal of the 1% reserve cap, in addition, in those discussions, perhaps encourage the Department of Finance or the governor to have the 1% cap be in addition to the council's own internal policy of allowing courts to maintain between 3% and 5% of the prior year's expenditures. So recommendation number four is just simply asking you to extend the suspension until June 30th of 2016.
Justice Miller.
So I move to approve recommendations 1, 2, 3, and 4 with the changes that were made.
Thank you. Second. Justice Baxter seconds. Any further questions or comments before I call for the vote? Seeing no hands raised, all in favor of recommendations 1 through 4 as amended in 1 and 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motions carry. Thank you. Thank you, Judge Earl. Thank you, Zlatko, and your committee. At this point, we're a little bit ahead of schedule. It's 5 minutes to 10. We're going to take a break until 10 after 10. We'll reconvene and hear the balance of our calendar.